Hello everyone, this is Austin. Thanks for listening to episode 96 of the Flight Test Podcast. We have really kind of a special edition podcast here that we recorded at the F3 Expo. It was in Atlanta, Georgia, and we had an opportunity, well, Josh had an opportunity to interview some of the top FPV freestyle pilots in the world. Some of them you might recognize from their YouTube channels, Sharpu, Final Glide Oz, Schizo, Mr. Steel. And those were just a few that we got to talk to over the whole weekend. These are the ones that we sat down and actually did an interview with. They talk about kind of their flying styles and how they got into flying and just kind of life in general. And I think it covers a pretty broad, interesting and broad range of topics with these pilots. So if you're into freestyle FPV racing, this is definitely going to be a good one for you to listen to. If you want to check out the video version of this podcast, you can do so at flighttest.com/podcasts. Actually, we worked with a company called IDG.TV, and they actually filmed the interview for us, which was great. So if you want to check out the video version, again, flighttest.com/podcasts, click on episode 96. And if you just wanted to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, you can go to flighttest.com/iTunes. We'll be back to kind of our regular format next week. So if you would have something you want us to talk about on the podcast, or if you want a question answered on the podcast, you can go to speakpipe.com/flighttest. Again, that's speakpipe.com/flighttest. And maybe we'll play your question on the air. All right. Thanks, guys. Enjoy this podcast and have a happy Thanksgiving for those of you that are listening to this real time. Thanks, guys. Enjoy.
Hey friends, my name is Josh from Flight Test, and I got a really amazing opportunity. I'm here at GWCC at the F3 Expo, and I'm with four amazing individuals. What are you guys' names?
Hi, my name is Carlos Puertolas. I'm well known by Charpu online.
Charpu.
My name is Chad Nowak. I'm known as Final Glide online.
No, you're not. You're lying. See, we can't start this relationship like this.
Oh my God. Damn!
See, you're trying to throw me.
I was, all right.
Yeah.
This
is Steel Davis.
Yeah, Steel Davis, and I go by Mr. Steel online.
Mr. Steel.
Yeah. Jonathan Davis, I go by Schizo FPV, and I'm not related to him.
No.
At all.
No, we're brothers.
But you guys share the same last name, correct?
Yes, we do.
Very cool.
I have his father's name.
And you fly together?
We do.
Yeah.
Every day.
Awesome.
It was destiny.
Now, this is Final Glide.
Yes, I am Chad.
You are Chad.
And I am Final Glide.
Awesome. Now, you guys all know each other. You've flown together. You have friendships.
Yep.
But you're from all over the country, aren't you? Actually, you're from out of the country.
Yeah.
I'm a bit further away.
He's from Alabama. Way you can get.
Yeah. So, we've all been friends online for ages. And it's only been recently through the races, the recent Drone Nationals, that we've actually had the opportunity to meet in person. And when we met in person, we actually found like, oh, these guys are actually pretty cool. And we've just continued with the friendship. And it's been awesome to be able to come back and meet on a almost semi-regular basis. It's been great.
That's awesome. Now, you two live right here locally, don't you?
Yes.
You and Steel?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we live about 40 minutes apart, but we're all about 40 minutes from the city. So we come down to the city and fly because it's convenient.
This is where all the cool stuff is.
Yeah.
And Carlos, you're all the way on the East Coast.
Yeah, well, I'm originally from Spain, but I moved to the
no,
U.S.
Not.
He's on the West Coast.
But I moved to
the
East Coast.
Yeah, I said East Coast.
No,
you're
no,
from
no, New York,
from
right?
Coast.
You're from the West Coast.
I'm from the
Carlos,
West Coast.
You are from the West Coast.
We knew
live in
you
LA.
Met, so that's all that matters.
There you go.
Yeah. In L.A. right now.
L.A. Yeah.
Originally from Spain, but now I live in L.A.
Awesome. Now, all of your backgrounds are uniquely different. It's weird because your flying styles almost seem to reflect that. Let's see, I know there's other team pilots that are in BMX bike racing. Some of you guys are in skateboarding?
Yeah.
Yeah, all three of us. I don't.
No,
did you?
Not me.
No?
No.
Okay. He was the
I never got
one.
That.
He was
used
uncool.
To, but not anymore. Yeah. Too old now.
Yeah.
My legs weren't taken.
Yeah.
One thing at Flight Test that we do is we have this big TV, and we loop every one of your videos around constantly, and it's the cause of us not getting much done. But watching you all fly, it's amazing. The way your styles are completely different, but yet they have a similar tone to them. Some of you guys are more high energy. I think you're probably more high energy.
I saw
the music you play.
Yeah, probably. I have a teen angst that I don't portray unless I'm tired or hungry.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm usually mad.
If you had Beavis and Butthead, he would be Beavis.
Not be Beavis.
I mean, you also feed from each other a lot, you know? Okay. You watch videos from the guys that you really like all of these guys, and you, even if you're not doing it on purpose, you kind of start getting some of their moves and their vibe, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then it reflects on your flying.
Every time one of the guys brings out a new video, there's nearly always something new and different in it, and you go, whoa, what was that? Your very next flight, you go out and you try it out, and you go, oh, you work it, and then you make it your own, and you got incorporate into your own style.
Yeah. Well, speaking of styles, it seems like wherever you guys go and the locations you're at, all of a sudden bring on new maneuvers. Who was flying at that? It was in Georgia, flying that exhibit where you guys shooting up and then shooting around the areas, but you're doing like this fan where you go up the side of the building and then do this crazy turn and then come down and then shoot through a pocket. Wasn't that you two?
Yeah,
well, I think we both did something on that.
You guys were doing all of those gliding upside down.
That's it, yes.
Yeah. And now I'm learning that stuff because I was behind on that. Yeah. So now I'm trying to learn that kind of stuff. Yeah, there's always that going on.
Well, now I've just noticed, one thing I've noticed that Schizo is doing is you go up and a lot of you get hang time. Schizo's just doing it on sideways. I've never seen that before. It's such a simple maneuver, but it looks awesome. And first time I thought, I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
And I'm going, how can I do that, but then make it slightly different and make it my own? And it's like the cogs start turning. So,
Do you guys ever name your maneuvers? Or are you just developing them so quickly? Like, how do you describe? Like, I did this crazy thing, and it was like this, and then this, or?
You just talk about exactly what you did. You know, like, I did a half backflip, I did a roll, and then I did a half backflip out or something.
And then people come up with the names.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, that was a corkscrew. It's like, all right, well, we're not going to call it
we
that.
We actually have a funny story about you know, we all obviously watch Sharpu's videos because, you know, we're new to the scene.
We're all fanboys
and
Sharpu.
We have these trees that we call the Sharpu tree. Like, we literally
call
it
that. I told him about that.
It's
trees.
Like an umbrella-style, you know, tree that you, like, follow the contour, you know? Like,
I kind of want to take a picture on the Sharpu tree.
Yeah, that needs to happen.
It's my own tree now.
We'll have to show you one. Yeah, nice. They're pretty cool.
Now, with you in Australia, obviously the landscape's a lot different.
Yeah.
Is that what's kind of... Because you practice in that area, it kind of brought a different style, and also your background is a glider pilot, right?
Yeah. Well, in Australia, we have a lot of what I like to call ghost branch trees. And it's like half-dead trees with branches that you can't see until it's too late. So,
those are called scrubbers.
We don't have these nice sort of landscape trees. Very rare that we don't have. Most of the trees aren't like that. So I spend a lot of time up in the trees retrieving my quad for that reason. So... also too, my gliding experience, and I got a lot of fixed wing RC experience, and I think a lot of my style is more sort of, it represents a lot more fixed wing type flying, so a lot more fast forward flying rather than hovering, that sort of stuff. And that was what my early stuff was, but then I saw these jokers fly and I went, hey, I want to try that, so I incorporated that into it. I class my steel, I call it Skielzo. It's a combination between Schizo and steel.
I like that.
So if they ever had a baby,
that would be inbreeding.
Yeah,
because you guys are related.
Yeah,
because we're related.
And you have your father's last name or first name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, as far as one thing I've noticed, it's just completely changed. Especially watching the freestyles, you guys. It's not just flying a quad like crazy, flip and roll, and you're managing energy where you're kind of defying people, making them wonder how are they upside down so long and everything. What brought that on?
Helium.
Helios. Are you guys reverse pitching your props in the covering?
No,
you
guys? That's just
that kind of goes back
could,
to...
It's a trade secret. We could tell you, but then we'd have to kill you.
So are you asking how or why we do it?
How?
How?
There'll be how.
There'll be an episode coming out of Rotor Riot that'll show you how.
Well, good. I want to watch that episode. Yeah. Because honestly,
it's essentially throttle control. That's really what it comes down to.
If you have enough throttle going, you can also... Stay upside down a lot longer than what you will do when...
Very early on, when I first started flying quads line of sight, I, of course, came from a fixed wing background, and I'm trying to do loops. And, of course, with a fixed wing aircraft, as you go up over the top, you drop to zero throttle. It's what you do.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I broke my backbone tricopter because I did this, and all of a sudden everything stopped and fell out of the sky.
Yeah.
So... before anything else happened, I actually came up with a special mix so that my motors actually never stop in the air. And that's something I've always used, and these guys have taken it on as well. And we've done an episode, a how-to episode.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And some of the momentum as well. Like a lot of the guys after Drone Nationals, there was no weight concern before Drone Nationals. And after Drone Nationals, everyone was like, oh, we got to make our stuff lighter and lighter. Now people are getting to where their quads are too light, to where you have no momentum when you go over something. Like when we go over trees and flip upside down, obviously you have no control to continue to go over the tree other than the momentum of the mass of the quad. So if you have a quad that's too light, it just goes and stops and goes
into the tree. Just get affected by drag.
Yeah.
Like really
bad. Yeah. Now, is that different than, like, I think you raced, right? And you took first place.
Yeah, at the Dry Nationals, did a bit of racing, and I just happened to be the lucky guy that didn't crash.
I saw that. You were good. You killed it.
That's
now,
right.
That quad setup, is it different from what you fly for freestyle?
Yeah, I fly all different sizes. I find, for me, the 5-inch setup is great for acro freestyle flying. It's what I normally fly, but a lot of the racing I do with a 6-inch setup. Okay. Not as fun to fly acro. I get a bit bored with it, but it turns really well. If you get a really lightweight setup, it's got a lot of thrust and it really bites through the air in the turns. And a lot of these tire tracks like we've got here, you win in the turns. So if you've got a big heavy quad that doesn't turn, it's kind of like a Japanese sports car versus American muscle car.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how fast you can go in a straight line because it's the whole course is turns.
We all saw Tokyo Drift. I know exactly what you're
talking
about.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very cool. Now, Schizo,
yes.
You know I'm a fanboy. We watch your videos, and we see you shoot lines when you go through something.
They watch your videos more than ours, it's obvious.
Yes.
I don't want to say anything. No, actually, we watch all yours, but the one thing that stands out, maybe you guys can give me insight on this, is it seems like when you pull a line and you go through something, especially with your video where you're going through that, it looked like an old barn. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with that? You went through and you would go up and over it, and it seemed like you didn't have sight of the hole you're going to go through again until the very last minute. Is that the camera angle of the GoPro, or are you literally trusting the line that you shot through?
So Schizo don't care.
It's a lot of luck.
He don't care.
You just kind of see the hole and you just commit to it.
Yeah.
So like
I mean, when you come through the other side and jump up, it's just more of a like spatial awareness and just kind of knowing your momentum.
With things are as well.
Yeah. But yeah, sometimes you don't predict accurately and you smash
or
things.
You make it look like you meant to do it. Like you go up and you're like, I kind
of
see a hole, I'm going to adjust and go through that hole.
That,
here's
actually
a branch that's about 5 feet from that hole, so I'm going to go just to the left of that branch.
That was a really cool thing about the Georgia Dome when we were doing loops. You normally used to just seeing sky for a very long time, so you're basically just going on feel.
Yeah.
But in the Georgia Dome, you had the roof.
You have reference.
So you could actually do really nice, clean, circular loops because you had a reference point above you.
So you're picking that structure line as you guys are going?
Yeah.
And as a bonus, it looked cool.
It does
look
really cool.
You know, when you guys are at the Georgia Dome and you're going for more and more altitude, it's like, how high can they go with these things? If for some reason,
until we get into trouble.
Yeah. I swear you, honestly, you're going to be up in the rafters at some point with those things. It was incredible. Now, who went to Hawaii just recently? You all
those
of you.
Three. Not me.
Not you.
No, I'm not.
Cool. He wasn't invited.
What was it like flying over salt water in a place where you probably won't get your quad back?
Fun but scary.
Yeah.
Which one was the one on the edge of the cliff? I saw someone scooting down a cliff.
He stood on the edge of the cliff.
Oh, yeah.
Was that you, Stannon?
Yeah.
He made us nervous. Carlos and I, we were away from the edge with our goggles on.
They were
on.
Ready with a lasso.
Yeah.
My hands started sweating just by remembering that.
We don't like heights. We were physically watching it. We had to unplug and walk away.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it either.
I definitely could not fly him. I just would never fly on the edge. But when he was doing it, I couldn't do it.
Not only flying on the edge, but he's flying at himself and flipping over his head. And
I just keep
running all the scenarios.
Carlos is like, you're going to hit yourself. You're going to fall.
It's like my brain goes to the worst scenarios possible.
There's too much.
Which sometimes is really good. Other times it's just like,
when you have someone that doesn't care that much, you got to go there to keep them alive.
Well, he have the control over it, but I'm thinking just something goes wrong, and then I can see it on my mind. So I was just like, my hands were like sweating, and I was just looking at him, and I was just like,
people realize the amount of paperwork that's involved if steel dies.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta imagine.
Well, the thing that would be the cool about that is he could film his own death, right? He could just come dive over the cliff.
I'd be sure to
follow. Yeah, he wouldn't stop.
So he's worth it.
here's the thing I gotta say is this industry is way too young, this hobby is way too young, and you guys are impacting it way too much. Keep him alive. Put a rope around his waist, you know.
I want it around my ankle, so if I fall, I'm like dangling upside down.
Still
so you can bungee jump at the same time.
I'll have to put a little receipt or a little cable in my ear to hold my goggles when they fall off.
Yeah.
One thing that touched me watching yesterday at the freestyle event was you guys say, we're all friends. It showed, because during the crashes, and there were a lot of them yesterday, and the props were busted, you guys were like in there, replacing props, replacing nuts, just going through the machines for each other. Mm. I'd never seen that kind of camaraderie in another hobby before. And that was awesome.
Well, I think part of it was, you know, I think we get in a lot of trouble if the turf gets damaged by lipo explosions.
But yeah, well, but is that what you're running for?
Yeah, well, that's part of it. But that was the real turning point for me because I've never done a big event before. So I was sitting there flying, nervous as heck. And, you know, I crash and I see all these people like just, you know, rush out for it and come in. It's like a pit crew.
Yeah.
And that was when it all changed. It was just like, wow, this is like, you know.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It was like an appreciation just for everybody's skill.
I knew Jonathan was nervous. You could see he was nervous. And he went out there and even though he was still as nervous as you could be, he put on this absolutely killer flight. Like the best flight I've ever seen, bar none, live. Blew everyone away. And then halfway through it, unfortunately hit something and crashed. And I think everyone just went, we want to see more. We've still got 3 minutes left. Let's get that guy back up in the air. So we just...
You got it back
we
up
were,
in the air.
We were just being selfish.
That was really
basically.
Cool.
Yeah.
We were selfish. We actually put the wrong props on.
Like I said before, in the finals, I did put his prop on backwards.
You know what? Yeah. You gave him a hug, though.
I did.
You know, everything can be repaired with a hug.
He's a good-looking man.
Yeah.
Now
you got to shave that, dude.
I did.
Here's why I never would have guessed, though. I never would have guessed that you guys aren't used to flying in front of people just because of those videos you put on. Seeing the crazy stuff you did in Hawaii,
no,
you
know,
on the edge of the cliff. Well, I saw Carlos's hand shaking, too.
Yeah, I'm horrible at it. Horrible.
Yeah.
I really generally don't like being the center of attention.
We were both disappeared to the bathroom. Like we have this thing. We're just going to walk to the bathroom and pretend like this is not happening for a second. So yeah. It's like a weird temporary.
Then you
escape.
Come in and you're like,
yeah.
I went to the bathroom before my round. I don't know, like 7 times.
At least.
Seriously. I came back with a glass of hot water
and was dipping his hands in it. I was like, what are you doing?
Really?
Yeah.
What was that for?
It was because my hands are really cold.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think when I'm nervous, it gets even colder.
Yeah, it's even more.
So, blood circulation goes away.
It's horrible. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and I have like mixed feelings. I mean, I love doing this because I meet all of these people.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it does generate this level of stress. And almost like when you talk to people, they explain to you like, who cares? Doesn't matter. And I agree. And I think about it, I don't care.
I don't really care either, but it's not a competitive thing.
It's like my brain switches when people says, and here goes Charpu, and everybody's looking, and the cameras are rolling. My brain switching to this mode where it's like, oh, freaking out.
I think a part of that is because I think one of the coolest things about the hobby was like it was a method of escape, right?
Yeah,
like this
exactly.
whole detachment of reality or whatever you want to call it. And
like,
this is the opposite. It's like, you know, like if you're a comedian and someone's like, be funny, you know, it's like, you know, you're on the spot. And
yeah, it was like
something forced.
It always helped you release stress. Wow.
Yeah.
At least to me, after work, it helped me like go out and just release stress.
Yeah.
When you're going in this kind of environment, it generates stress, which is a little different. But
well, you both worked amazing under stress. That's for sure.
Yeah.
The psychological side of it is a lot bigger factor in this kind of environment than I think people pay credit for. And anyone, any sportsman that's in a pressure situation will agree when they actually experience it for the first time. That it's huge. And it's very interesting at the Drone Nationals that there was a lot of good pilots there that didn't get through at all, and it was down to their nerves. It wasn't to do with their piloting skills. They just let the nerves get to them. And some people handle it better than others. Some people work on it. I've just worked on it because I've been in those situations before. I know Steel has with playing music and things like that. After a while, you learn to deal with it. I mean, the big one for me is I've done a lot of full-size gliding competitions. I mean, so I'm flying against 60 other pilots, and I want to get on the national team. And there's lots of, and I put a lot of money in. And if I do something wrong, my life's on the line. So I'm looking at this, and I'm going, well, I'll break a frame. Who cares? So go out there and have fun. But it's all about how you deal with it in your mind, because.
Yeah.
I know I get nervous. I'm sure Steel does as well. It's how you deal with it mentally and put that away so that you can get on doing the job.
Hey, the one thing that I can walk away from, though, is after my run, this guy was actually shaking a little bit up there. I saw it.
That flight that he did, I'm sitting there going, holy crap. I'm going to have to pull some serious stuff out of the bag just to get in the top three here. I mean, he pulled that, and I'm going, screw it, I'm done.
Well, what did you guys do? Like, in a perfect world, would you rather go first or would you rather go last?
Ooh, I don't know.
I'd rather go all together.
Here's that's the thing. Really when Castile and Chad went first,
yeah,
they were the first two, I think, weren't you, in this qualifying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just looking at the screen like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, like, there's no way, you know, that I'm going to. I respect all of these guys, so when I see them fly, I'm just like, man, I want to be able to do that. I want to fly like that.
Yeah.
But I guess it's still like a mutual thing. Like, they, you know, probably think like that too. So,
how do you deal with stress?
It depends on the situation. Last night during the freestyle event, I wasn't really nervous, but in races, I get to a point where I'm so nervous. I don't know if you've ever been like really, really sick before, but you get to a point where you're like shaking, and then all of a sudden it just goes numb. Yeah. Like, that'll happen during a race.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
Like, I'm just like shaking the first like half lap, yeah, and then it's just like poof, like super smooth the rest of the time, unless someone hits me, and then it's
kind of like if you stay up too long, you're like super tired, then all of a sudden you're awake again. Yeah, yeah, same concept.
Well, yeah, like that doesn't happen with me.
Yeah, you gotta get to the numb part.
I stay. There's no never numb. The only numb part is when I crash and I'm like, okay, this is over. Oh.
So it crashes on purpose.
Yeah. But I think you do get better. I feel like yesterday, for example, when we went doing the freestyle event, I don't think in competition, I don't think I ever finished my round before, or I didn't like even manage to do any tricks. It would always was horrible, catastrophic, like the 30-second line and then crashing right away. So I do notice that the more you do it, you get a little better at it.
Yeah. You know, and when you're doing something you're comfortable doing, freestyle, you're more comfortable.
This reminds me, this guy, by the way, didn't get to practice very much before.
Yeah.
He got like maybe two flights in practice before the competition.
He's always red-eyeing in the night before.
That helps, but I do think that nervousness, like
it doesn't help with the nervousness, but at least
you get comfortable. When you are comfortable with the area, even a little bit, it definitely helps, like being comfortable with your.
But there was one. I mean, I shake anyway because it like runs in my family, so it was even that much more pronounced when I'm, you know, nervous. So I'm up there and just terrified, like, you know, deer looking at headlights, you know, and then put my goggles on, and then as soon as I take off, like my you know, music kicks on.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, this is all familiar, you know, like all of a sudden. So that kind of that helped.
What am I but doing it, wrong?
It's good to take off and you almost forget that everyone's watching. And you just go into your own little zone, and you're in your backyard or your favorite park, and you're just doing your thing. And
that didn't happen.
And
when you mean you.
Okay,
yeah.
Just me.
This is him.
Yeah. Okay, so.
All right, this is him talking. Yeah.
So every next time I fly, you've got to be standing next to me going, Chad, I'm still here. I'm watching you.
You are in a competition.
That's not metal scaffolding, it's yourself. A tree, right? Yeah.
Don't stress, but don't screw up.
Oh, man. Now, as far as the competition goes and everything, is this something that you guys want to see your careers go towards, where you're doing competitions, or do you just want to move the hobby forward?
I'm more interested in moving the hobby forward.
Too,
the competition side of things, apart from having the time to do it, because you know, I have another job that takes a lot of my time, so it's like, I don't think it's doable right now for me. But in terms of like moving forward the hobby and having more people involved into the hobby, that's great. That's the goal.
Awesome. How about you?
It needs to be a lot higher, and as far as like more people involved, the technology needs to grow, the battery technology needs to grow before it could even be marketable, I think. So right now, just pushing what we have forward and trying to make things understandable to the general public. Because honestly, right now, I think the hobby probably consists of less than 100,000 people, which is not that amount of, it's not enough people to be sustainable as far as like a career for any of us. So now the entertainment side of it, I mean, you can, like I've done shoots with GoPro before where I would just chase professional athletes. So that's another side of things where you can get into the aerial photography side of it, but it's more specialized than if you're just flying a Phantom or something like that. So that is actually a pretty viable career, but it is contracting work because not everybody needs somebody to chase them 2 inches behind someone doing 70 miles an hour down a hill or something like that. So.
Very few people want that, actually.
Yeah, I think GoPro is probably the only one.
You got it. You'd want the best people to do it, that's for sure.
Yeah. At least they have helmets on sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and speaking, you're talking about you have a job. I think all of you, I know you can't call it a full-time this is a full-time career necessarily, but full-time passion kind of.
Yeah.
But a lot of you juggle jobs, works, and I know you do this, you passionately do this full-time, but you still have gigs and everything, even though you don't have a 9-to-5, right?
I don't have a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
So I only...
Still don't work.
I do a lot of...
That's the secret.
Weird little facet things. So I like do competitions. I go fly for people, for promotional, for the hobby, for... do work for GoPro. I've done work for ESPN. I've done work for... Actually, I think that's it. But other than that, I mean, I just try to find some way into the entertainment industry because I don't know. I like talking to people and I like spreading the word. And the only way to do that really now is to social media it out.
Yeah.
Post Instagram every day.
I know I got to fly with you in California, and I know you guys fly together constantly. I don't know. Do you fly with buddies or are you?
I've got, just like these guys got the Atlanta crew, I've got the Brisbane crew back there, and that was sort of like the crew that started it all. So Blackout's involved in that group, and that's sort of where the mini quad scene was sort of born. So no different to these guys. Every area has got their own little group of guys that love flying together.
I noticed two things. I hear a lot of times it's like you're nervous flying in front of people, but none of you fly alone. What do you think the power is with flying with a friend?
Collaboration. That's how you get better. You get fly with people that you are intimidated by or that you think are better than you, and then you're just like, all right, I gotta step it up. I don't think if I had met him that I would be where I am right now. Because I had stayed pretty consistent for about 3 or 4 months when he was exploding online. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to keep up with this. And then I met him, and it was like, he's getting pretty good. I got to keep in front of him. And eventually it got to the point where we're like,
literally trying to one-up each other, the whole time.
I'm looking at these videos from across the world going, damn.
Sure he is. Yeah,
I got to add, though, to coin a phrase from the famous Josh Bixler, the memories.
The memories. Mm-hmm. It sounds cheesy, but it's true, isn't it?
Every time I go flying with those guys, we go home absolutely pissing ourselves laughing every single time. And I didn't know these guys from a bar of soap, and it was mini quads that brought us together, and now we get together every weekend. During midweek, we have dinners together, and that we're like best friends. And it's because I'm enjoying it that I'm still doing it. It's a hobby what I'm doing here. I'm not making a career out of this yet. But at this point in time, you're doing it because you're enjoying it. And if you're not enjoying it, what are you doing it for?
Yeah. You can't have a hobby in a vacuum either. Yeah, it's something. You need someone to help you pick up the pieces, someone to encourage you, and also, like you guys said, someone to motivate you to get better.
Yeah,
I got to say, though, I really enjoyed the freestyle there where you had to stay in the seat and you had your minions to go and get it. So I'm actually going to go home. And when I crash, I'm going to crash and I'm going to look over at Mark and I'm going, dude, come on,
your job.
You need to make the seat. You need to make the seat and have the lights on and everything, and then you guys can sit in the seat.
Well, you can have these big lights. Celebrity, like that.
You need one of those, go-karts with a lazy boy on top of it. Yeah. You just, drive around town and sit in a spot and fly, and then you have minions that show up in their trucks.
What do you guys see in just 1 year? Because we can't say 5 years.
That's what I see. I see him on a little cart.
Chad's driving across the Atlantic Ocean.
I'll tell you what I want to see. I want to see a quadcopter that's this big, and I want to do flips over my kitchen sink. That's what I want.
You want to see the technology get faster.
A micro quad with the same sort of performance and power that flies like a 5-inch.
His whole kitchen sink, just the faucet part.
Yeah,
just the
faucet. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I was talking about.
You want an immersive experience as if you were a house fly.
Yes, exactly.
We've done a little bit of bird.
And when you crash, it's like a little mushroom cloud.
Yeah.
But the props are a pain to replace.
Oh my God. Yeah. You just got to replace it.
You need the microscope.
I put that one on backwards.
Imagine soldering an ESC on that.
No, I don't think it would be.
But
great.
In terms of technology, I think definitely what you mentioned, the batteries are always behind.
Yeah.
For the kind of power that we're trying to get.
That's the weak spot. That's the weak link, right?
And the other big problem, I think, that if it ever gets solved, will make competitions a lot better, is the video transmission. Bands, all of that. If that gets figured out and it makes it simpler, it'll be a completely different experience, because most of the pain that happens in these competitions comes from band managing and channel managing.
You can't see where you're going, you can't race.
It's funny because you say you can't see. I've seen you guys record some of your live feeds. I'm like, how are they going through the tree at that? And I can't believe it's always just luck that you're making it through.
It's Braille.
It's Braille.
You just maintain. It's like line of sight when you lose it in the sun. You knew the last input.
Yeah.
So you just kind of hold that last input, and you expect the plane to do exactly what it was doing before you lost it, and then it usually is in that
When
same
you're watching
orientation.
The videos, we've got really nice music that's set to it. In real life, you're not hearing that, ah!
Yeah,
I made it! I'm still alive!
Yeah. You trust it right into the ground kind of sometimes, don't you?
Fly it to the ground,
I've seen some of your transmissions, and I was I was watching one of the videos, and I was looking at the live, and I was like, I assume that you guys had, like, you know, 800 TV line cameras and everything, and you guys are in the, what, 650, 600 range?
Yeah. I tried an 800 TV line. It was
too much latency.
Too much latency.
Yeah. Too much. Okay, so let's talk about latency. Is that another thing, too? I used to fly, I still fly off of GoPros because we don't have to worry about shooting drones.
Not anymore.
But
the very important thing is you can have the world's best image, but it's no good to you if you've hit the tree before you've seen it.
That's true. And so the less resolution you guys get, the better latency?
The faster your transmission
at the moment. Faster.
With what we've got now, anything above, I think it's 650 TV lines and involves more processing to get the image. Any more processing introduces lag into the system. And so we've got a certain amount of lag that we're dealing with now, and it's like anything with performance. You don't like going down in performance. You can handle what you've got, but if you go down, things get worse. So until they can come out with a system that has the same amount of lag for better performance, that's sort of where we're comfortable with.
Wow. I mean, even right now we're dealing with like a difference between 10 to 20 milliseconds of latency in the RC link. Like, we went from PPM to S-Bus from this guy. He should be being paid by FreeSky because everyone's buying the X4R now.
You stop doing that. I can't even buy X4Rs now.
It's going to be like,
that was the only thing that was available.
Yeah, but it's only a difference of like 20 milliseconds of latency, and it's like the difference between just flying a multirotor versus being a Jedi. Like, now you're just like, oh, that hole.
Speaking of that, you were the one that's popping up on the side while you're going through branches like this, aren't you?
Yeah.
Knife edge.
I don't even know how, because your camera is at a 30-degree angle. So it's not just like you're turning it sideways going this way. You're flying like this, and you're doing this.
Yes.
Are you doing this too?
Depends on the hole.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to pull back a little to get through it. But
how do you consciously always remember the orientation your machine's in?
Simply presses record, and then he holds the back of the quad, and then he...
Yes, we've done that.
Yeah. He runs around with it.
I did that.
Are you kidding me?
Same thing. No, I landed a quad in front of John, and John picked it up, went through a hole, and put it down, and I took off, and we put it on Instagram.
Oh, did that make it on Instagram?
Yeah, it did.
I didn't think that was funny or not. I was like, hey, land right here. And like, threw it through a hole.
And my GoPro like clipped a branch.
No one's gonna believe anything you do from now on.
Yeah. I know.
Well, I used to hear the constant thing, oh, you sped it up.
I get a lot of that.
You do not speed things up.
I even told him he sped things up.
Yeah.
You were like, trolling
dude,
him?
What is this? Yeah, I think it was like,
that first one with when the 6-inch. Like,
Soothing Madness.
When that first came
out,
I actually got really angry, and I had an argument with my friends, and I said, that is sped up. I've never said anything. And then I got, and they said, you're going to get proven wrong, you're going to look like an idiot. And sure enough, I lost the bet. It wasn't sped up. And so now this is where I defend guys like Carlos.
Yeah.
Because I now know how bad I felt for even thinking that.
Yeah.
Well, it defies logic. Even watching what you guys were doing yesterday defies logic. The speeds you're going and the holes you're choosing, the paths you're choosing, and I don't know if any of you guys, like, I don't think you guys predestined the what you're going to do. It seems like
things will happen.
Yeah.
Once again, you talk about we come from a loot, see nothing. Oh, that's my only way through.
Yeah.
So it's reactive flight.
Yeah.
When we go through that,
what you want to do is you want to get the camera to then go to the pilot, because I got that relief of, did I do that?
Yeah.
And then you're going to the next hole. Screw
it. I still get accused of smoothing software.
Yeah. Smoothing software.
Yeah. Well, I always think I do tons of posts.
Ridiculously smooth.
I don't get accused of anything.
That's why a lot of us, we will go out of our way to make sure we don't do that, because we've been defending that we don't do it for so long. You don't want to actually go and actually do it.
Well, I liked how you use, talking about smooth, I think you were the one in the freestyle that was actually in the tune of the music, like kicking it in yaw while you're flying through there.
Trying.
Real crazy subtle things. Yeah. And then you did this maneuver, and it's like this, I don't know, it looked like someone
rando
spun
roll?
TikTok.
What is it called?
Rando roll.
No, I did rando roll, but he's
I think he's talking about when you were rolling left and right, back and forth. Or maybe. Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
See, I don't even know what
was
he's
that
doing.
You?
Yeah, it was
probably.
Because it's weird. Flying styles, it seems like you're like an artist with a paintbrush. you're like almost like this crazy person, like popping and locking while you're flying through the air.
And I'm the twitchy teenager that's like drinking too much
coffee. I have a Facebook message that says that I was the Rodney Mullins of skateboarding and you're Tony Hawk on meth. That's what I was doing. And I saved it because it was the funniest thing. I almost fell out of my chair.
You guys are going to have your own meme someday. Yeah. You guys are all impacting lives in an amazing way. And also, this is kind of a new chapter. And I got to imagine, Skitzo, you're going to be part of this too, based on your availability, but Rotor Riot. Let's talk about that.
Well.
What's that?
That's flight test on steroids.
Flight test
what
on
did we
steroids.
Say? There was flight test with an R rating.
With an R rating.
Yeah. Maybe R, what is it, R plus? What's the next rating?
Not quite triple X.
I wouldn't say R, I would say PG-13.
Okay.
Because I think they're going to bleep the words, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of bleeps.
They'll put the little black like.
Well, we actually decided that instead of the bleeps, we're going to have the ESC startup calibrate.
You could have the Taylor Swift goat thing scream every time. Yeah, exactly.
This all pretty much started. I mean, Steel was probably the one that really got it going, but we were over in Hawaii and lucky enough to go on that trip, and that's where we met up with Chad Kappa.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to know us and talking, and then shortly after that, Steel basically, the cogs were turning, and obviously the cogs were turning in Chad's brain, and they came up with this crazy idea of why don't we start up another internet show sort of specifically on multi-rotors, and that's when I kind of got thrown into the melting pot, and they said, hey, do you want to be a part of this? And then we got Carlos on board, and then of course Tommy, awesome. Who's, oh my god, and I'm sure this lunatic
will
be
involved.
I'm sure
I'll get dragged in at some point.
So basically, yeah, we're starting to shoot episodes for a show called Rotor Riot, which is more sort of for the professional sort of hardcore multi-rotor scene. So we're rather than the basic stuff, we're going into the higher level thing.
Yeah.
And the best way that I've heard it described is think of Top Gear with multi-rotors. So nice. Yeah, you've got all the technology there, but we're going to try and have the entertainment.
Do you mean Top Gun?
Top Gun, that could do.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll work.
Except we have like the Stigs. The hosts are Stigs as well.
Yeah. Nice. So what we're going to do is we're going to get every single quad and then we're going to have the Stig just fly it to death.
Well, what is an example of some episodes you shot? I know it hasn't come out yet.
Well, we've done some, for example, top tips, so professional tips. So each one of us has got something to offer, and we're going to keep on looking for that. So I've got, for example, my throttle cut mix on my radio so that you can learn how to do the hang time that we do. Steel was talking about pinching versus thumbs, why he pinches. And
I heard that was a really heated debate.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
pinching versus thumbs.
A little bit, yeah. I guess.
That's the same thing as asking, like, if you like guitar or bass. I mean, it's really more of a personal preference. Yeah. It's an opinion.
No, we had a lot of fun at the supermarket.
Yeah. We got a grocery store all to ourselves for a full night.
Yeah.
How much food did you eat?
None.
No,
how much food did you crash into?
Yeah.
I don't think we killed anything.
I just pictured bags of chips just like sliced.
Yeah,
right
I thought
down.
The produce
like
section
Twinkie,
was done.
Yeah, some Twinkies.
We stayed out of the expensive wine section.
I was in there. I exploded some props. I think you saw the prop. It was stuck in a box.
In some box.
I hit something in a
the
prop
cool
like
thing,
shrapnel
the
into
cool
a
thing
box.
Out of supermarket is it's always different rows.
Yes.
So you can always take the first one, put it behind, put the other one in front. Nothing happened.
There's some chips. Someone's going to open. There's going to be a prop in there.
We'll be like, I'm going to get a propeller in my bag of potato chips. Awesome.
Yeah, well, so it's basically just a wide selection of that. Something that you can learn, doing reviews, whatever, but also having fun. So I hopefully what we're trying to achieve is maybe the products and what we're showing will get people interested and the emotions and the characters will keep them there. So we want to have fun and just have a good time. So we're very much open to what the public wants us to see. So we're doing what we think is good, but we're also asking, what do you want to see? Did you like this? Did you didn't like that? So we want to shape it.
Well, I can speak from seeing where Flight Test has gone in the heart of the community. You can never go wrong by asking what they want to see and what they want to learn. And from the bottom of my heart, from Flight Test, we got to thank you guys because our heart's been to get people in the hobby, but where they go once they're in is up to them. You guys just gave them something to aspire to, but you're going a step further. You're showing them how to do it.
Well, and it's worth pointing out that Flight Test is the reason that I started flying multi-rotors in the
first
place.
Really? Yeah, a lot of us have the same,
I saw your Batboner episode and then went, hey, I've got to get me one.
can't believe it hasn't been that long ago.
I blame you for me sitting here.
Wow.
Me too.
I remember I discovered you guys a little later. So I have a few days where it was just basically just watching videos for the whole day. Because I just put the playlist with all your videos and I'll just keep playing.
Did you see all the facial hair changing? And
I got a lot of, hi.
You know something, they're going to do a hi montage.
That's
going to be a lot of
That'd
footage.
Be like 3 hours worth of
Friends, I got to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for what you're doing for the hobby. Thank you for taking time to answer questions and show your hearts and just where this industry is going. It's exciting time in the industry, but also for people. This is an avenue people can choose to build memories, grow together, create relationships, but also get inspired and learn something. So thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, man.
Brother.
It's exciting to see
brother.
Go.
All right,
everyone's got to be
we'll,
brother.
We'll hug it out later.
Yeah.
Man hug.
Oh, watch this.